guys, we're concluding our series today called Enough, where basically the theme of this series has been, if God is not enough for you, if God is not all satisfying and all powerful, and if he is not the desire of your souls, then nothing in this world will satisfy you. You'll always be restless. You'll always be wanting something more. Nothing will satisfy if God is not enough for you today. And so guys, we're in a series on 1 John. 1 John is towards the end of the Bible. I want you guys to pick up a Bible and turn there. We're in chapter 5 today. We're concluding it today. And today we're just simply talking about being an overcomer. That is what it's basically what it's talking about. Now, when Jesus was alive, there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus that came to him. Nicodemus, okay? Don't ever name your kid Nicodemus, okay? I can't imagine what it was like for him as a kid trying to learn how to spell his name, Nicodemus, okay? But he came to Jesus and he said, listen, Jesus, I understand that you're a man of God. No one teaches like you. I can't approach you by day because I'm a big shot. I'm a Pharisee and everything, but I want to know what's going on. And I've tried to, basically, there's unrest in my soul. I know that there's more out there than what I'm doing, but so I just need to talk to you. And Jesus says this. He said, it doesn't matter about all the things that you think you're doing. You must be born again. And Nicodemus says, you have born again. What the heck is that? You know, you mean I have to enter inside my mom's womb and be born again? And Jesus said, no. You have to, literally what Jesus says is that to follow me, you must die and be resurrected. You must put to death everything that is about you, and you must be born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And so I want to ask you guys, how many of us in the church today have done what Jesus said to do? How many of us have been born again? Because honestly, guys, what happens in a lot of us is we come to the church and we're looking for a few principles maybe to tweak our lives, to make it better. You know, I need to manage money better, so I need to go to church and figure out how to manage money better. Or I need to be a nicer person, or I need to be a better person, okay? We're looking for some principles. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. That's not what the Bible is talking about. The Bible says you must be born again. You must die. Your old life has to die, and you must be resurrected into a new creation, like 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. Guys, everything, when Jesus enters your life, everything is made new. Your mind, your attitude, your goals, your dreams, your behavior, your priorities, your habits, your loves, your desires, your vocation, all of it. All of it, the entire thing dies and you're made new in the image of God. All right, that's what it means to be born again. 1 John 5:1-5 says this, everyone who believes that Jesus Christ is born of God. Born of God means being born again. Guys, look there. And everyone who loves a father loves his child as well. This is how we know we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his command. And here's the focus verse. I want you guys to underline this in your Bible or write this down, whatever. And his commands are not burdensome, because everyone born of God overcomes the world. His commands are not burdensome. What he asks of you is not burdensome, because everyone who is born again, born of God, overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So guys, I want you to focus on that verse. This is the theme for the whole message today. His commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. The two things, born of God and overcoming the world. Well, that doesn't sound too hard, does it? Overcome the world? That actually sounds pretty tough, actually. That was pretty scary. Someone asked me one time if I thought it was hard to be a Christian. They say, is a Christian life hard? I said, no, the Christian life isn't hard. Christian life isn't even difficult. Christian life is impossible, you guys. It's impossible. Trying to do things in your own power. There is no one in here in their own strength. There's no one here who's disciplined enough. There's no one here who's good enough. There's no one who has the strength of character to live out everything that Jesus says 24/7, 365. There's no one who is strong enough of a person to do that. Okay? No one. The only way that that is possible is when we are born again. Okay, guys? And you say, well, what does it mean to overcome the world? Does that mean like take over the world like Hitler or something like that? No. That's not what he's talking about. When the Bible refers to the world, you guys, the Bible's talking about things that are around us that are not of God, okay? Things like this. Write this down. The world would be like bitterness in your life, unforgiveness, addictions, rage and anger. Now, do you blow your stack at the smallest little thing? That would be known as the world. Sexual immorality, materialism. Then the Bible identifies things called strongholds. There are forces in our society. If you want to know what a stronghold is, whatever has a stronghold on you. Okay? Things like homelessness is a stronghold that would be called the world. Poverty, criminal exploitation of children. Things like they're almost institutionalized in our world that are against God. Okay, and that's what we have been called to overcome. And you say, "Well, I'm afraid to do those things. I'm afraid to be born of God. I'm afraid to die to myself and be resurrected. And I'm scared to change my goals and my dreams and my vocation and my priorities and my behavior. I'm scared of that, and I'm certainly scared to tackle any of those things that you just listed." Well, here's point number one, guys. I want you to write this down. If fear is your motivator, you'll always say no when God says go. Write it down. If fear is your motivator, you will always say no when God says go. Okay? 1 John 14, last week we talked about this. There is no fear in love. No fear in what? Say it louder. There's no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Guys, it is love of God and love for God that conquers our fears. The only way that you will ever go when God says go, the only way you'll ever be an overcomer, is when your love for God is greater than your fear of what might happen. Okay? The only way you will ever be able to live a Christian life is when your love for God is greater than your fear of what people will think of you. Okay? The only way that you will be an overcomer is when your love of God and love for God is so much stronger than your fear of what will happen if you take a radical course of action. See, guys, it's love for God and love for God that causes a middle school or high school student to move past peer pressure. It's love of God and love for God that makes people, ordinary people like us in America, stop living above our means and free up resources that we were spending on ourselves to give to kingdom work. It's love of God that causes some people, and it's happening all over the world, all over this nation right now, that causes people to sell their $500,000 homes, move into a $100,000 home, and cut their mortgage from, say, $2,000 a month to $500 a month, and free up those $1,500 to serve the poor and support missions. It's happening all over the place. It's love for God that causes us to do that. It's love for God that gives us the courage to conquer our addictions. We have to be great. Love for God has got to be greater than our fear of what will happen if we don't have this fix every day. It's love for God that causes us to overcome toxic family histories that so many of us are living in right now. The toxic family history has been passed down by generation, generation, generation. We're still living in it today. It's love for God that helps us overcome that. It's love for God that helps us to overcome unbelief. It's love for God that helps us to make Jesus in his glory known. Guys, but guys, if we're always living by fear, we'll always say no when God says go. And guys, when it comes to missions, I want to tell you this. Prior to World War II, the Moravian Church in Germany considered that four people was enough of a base to send one person to a mission to do missions in a foreign land, of unevangelized land, non-Christian country. Four people was adequate to send one person. Using that formula, guys, the 40 million evangelical Christians in America, we could support 10 million missionaries in places like Nepal, where 0.5% of the population is Christian. In this country of 6 million, about 200,000 are Christian. In India, where 2.5% of the population is Christian. Places like that. We could send 10 million to make the gospel known in those countries. But during World War II, though, as resources got more scarce, the church said that a ratio of 15 to 1, 15 people was necessary to support one missionary in unevangelized lands. Using that formula, America's 40 million evangelical Christians could support 2,666,666 missionaries. But sadly, right now, we have about 37,000 full-time missionaries working in unevangelized lands. That's one missionary for every 1,081 evangelical Christians. Now, Robert McQuilkin says this, He's a pastor. He's looking at the statistics. He said this: less than 1% of Christian workers are engaged in evangelistic ministry among the lost. Is this how a commander-in-chief would deploy his troops? Or is someone not listening? See, guys, if fear is your motivator and not love, you'll always say no when God says go. See, guys, and you say, well, maybe foreign missions isn't my thing. I'm not called to that. That's not where my heartbeat is. That's okay, guys. That's okay. But I want to tell you something. You are called to something. Everyone who is born of God, this is what I've noticed. This is what I've noticed. Of every person who has surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God gives a burden to you. Write it down. God gives a burden to all his believers. Point number two, God gives a burden to all his believers. A what? A burden, exactly. Okay? The way that people describe this burden is this kind of weight on your shoulders or this gnawing thing in your gut that you just can't get rid of. It bothers you. It keeps you up at night that there's something that God has called you to do and you just can't get it out of your mind. Every believer who is born of God I've talked to, God has given this to. Now, guys, remember, his commands are not burdensome. This doesn't have to do with getting to heaven. This has to do with your work on this world. The prophet Jeremiah, he was sent to the nation of Israel to call them back. They had gone and worshipped other gods. He was sent to call them back. And he went to them, and he was not a very nice person, very abrasive personality. Good thing we don't know anybody like that in the church today, okay? Okay, well, he was very abrasive. He got laughed at and mocked. He got beat up. And he said, you know what? I am not going to speak about God anymore. I'm just casting this nation to Satan. I'm turning him over to Satan. I'm not going to try to call him back. I'm not going to try to do anything. Well, guys, it didn't work out for him. Here in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9, he says this: but if I say I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, speaking about God, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. And guys, that is what a burden feels like, a fire shut up in your bones, something that you just literally get weary of holding in. For me, guys, my burden that God has given me is to make the gospel known among as many people in this world as possible, here in America and foreign nations. I have a burden and a passion for mission work, for church planting, for seeing the gospel permeate families and change families. Guys, I cannot think about anything else. That's a burden that God has given me. And that's why I'm a church planter. That's why I'm a pastor. That's why I'm passionate about missions. Because I feel like Jeremiah. If I don't do these things, I'm just going to be weary of holding them in. But for not everyone is like that. For some of you guys, the burden that God has placed on your shoulder is prayer. Literally, when you know of something going on, God keeps you up at night. And you there's no peace in your life until you have spent hours in prayer for whatever it is that you're praying for people, or that is a burden that God has given you. And we need people like that. For some of you guys, your burden is for homeless and the poor. There are people, literally, that I look up to that are so, have such a burden for poor people and the oppressed. They sell everything that they have. They go work among the poor. They love the poor. They work with them. They stand up for the underdog at all times. We need people like that. There's some of us that have a burden on their shoulders to stop human trafficking. I have a friend, like I've told you, down in Atlanta, who literally his entire ministry, he pulls young girls off the street that have been trafficked and a part of the criminal sexual exploitation of children. He has a halfway house that he keeps them in. He teaches them a trade and gets them to school so they can get out of this vile trade. There's some of you guys that have a burden to know Scripture thoroughly and teach it accurately. You have this passion to get God's word out to as many people as possible. Some of you guys, your burden is to raise Christian children. I mean, that keeps you up at night, that you're so concerned about the next generation coming up. And so you provide resources to other Christian parents and get God's word out to as many kids as possible. For some of you guys, you have a burden for foreign missions or full-time Christian service. Whatever it is, guys, every person that I know that has truly surrendered to God has a burden on their shoulders that people that were weary of holding it in. Mike Iaconelli, youth minister describes this burden as God ruining your life. I will never forget, he was talking to a bunch of youth ministers. He said, you know what, guys, we're here because God has ruined our lives. And everybody's like, what? What is he saying? God has ruined our lives? He goes, yeah, he's ruined your life because you, if you are in youth ministry today, there is no way you can be happy doing anything else. God has ruined every other option. You cannot do it. And we said, yeah, that's why we're doing what we're doing. God's ruined every other option. We cannot, literally cannot be happy doing anything else. And guys, that's what a burden feels like. God ruins your life for any other option other than to take on this burden. And thank God that he does. Listen to what some people that describing this. This is what it sounds like to have a burden. David Brainerd. I cared not where or how I lived. How many of us can say that? What hardship I went through so that I may gain souls for Christ. While I was asleep, I dreamed of these things. When I awoke, the first thing I thought of was this great work. David Brainerd is a pastor. Goes on, Lord, give me Scotland or I die. John Knox, Scottish pastor. Father, give me these souls or I die. John Hyde, missionary. God, the sin of this city is breaking my heart. Samuel Hadley about New York City. Oh, guys, how I have prayed that about Nicholsville and Lexington and central Kentucky. The sin of this city is breaking my heart. Goes on, Lord, give me souls or take my soul. George Whitefield, American revivalist. Give me Lisu converts, and I can truly say I will be happy even in a pigsty. J.O. Fraser, missionary to the Lisu people of China. That's what a burden feels like. Here, let me burn out for God. Henry Martin on the shores of India. He said, let me die here. Let me burn out. Let me be used up for your glory. That's what a burden feels like. David Livingston, missionary to Africa. I must open a way to the interior or perish. I feel as if I could not live if something is not done for China. Hudson Taylor, missionary to China. I am very tired but must go on. A fire is in my bones. Oh God, what can I say? Souls, souls, souls. My heart hungers for souls. General William Booth, founder of the Salvation Army. And my favorite, I would rather win souls than be the greatest king or emperor on earth. I would rather win souls than be the greatest general that ever commanded an army. I would rather win souls than be the greatest poet or novelist or literary man who ever walked the earth. My one ambition in this life is to win as many as possible. R.A. Torrey, pastor. Guys, this is not God commanding them. This is not some awful task that God has given these people and they're just grudgingly going after it. From inside them. This is the sign, guys, that they have been born again, that God has given them this passion, this burden. And guys, once that burden hits, it's unstoppable. Might as well try to stop water from running downhill, stop a fish from swimming, or try to grow hair on Paul Ross's head. Guys, it's just not going to happen, okay? It's just not going to happen, okay? So guys, so if this burden, though, is so powerful in our lives, why do we not see more action? Well, one thing, remember, if fear is your motivator, you always say no when God says go. But second, there's a cultural force working against us, and we have to discuss it. Guys, I was reading a book called The Last Christian Generation by Josh McDowell, okay? And he said this, that our culture, about 50 years ago, 150 years ago, the people decided on an action whether it was right or wrong, based on right or wrong, whether it was right or whether it was wrong. But that, ever since the 1960s, that's changed in our culture. And he introduced what's called the concept of immediate workability. Check this out. Right and wrong is not judged by whether it's right or wrong. It's judged by whether or not it works for you in the moment. He writes this, this generation, talking about us, as a rule is not asking, is it true? But rather, does it work? If Hugh Hefner's motto, if it feels good, do it, characterized the 1960s, today's culture propagates the view that if it works, it's right. That is, the test of whether an action is right or wrong, or good or bad, is not based on some objective standard, but it's simply upon the desirability of the outcome. Now, what does that mean? Well, two things. For he goes on, if immediate workability is our nation's criterion for whether or not to do something, then taking steroids to enhance athletic performance seems worth doing. Because the outcome is what you want. Premarital sex will be a viable option because it works for you in the moment. Cheating will promise easier and more desirable results than studying. Because if it works for you, it's right. And here's the clincher. Not only that, but if immediate workability is our criteria, and listen, who among us will choose sacrifice over selfishness? Who will choose the cross instead of culture? Who will choose righteousness rather than self-gratification? Guys, there's a cultural force working against this burden, because a lot of us, in our the burden that God has given for us, is not immediately workable. It'll take sacrifice. It'll take hardship. It'll take a passion for God. And guys, if that's not the way our culture works, we have cultural forces working against us, and it's killing us, because we've all got fire shut up in our bones, and we keep saying no, 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 because it's just going to make me too uncomfortable. And inside, it's killing us. It's killing us. It's killing our walk with God, and it's killing our culture. See, guys, everyone who's born of God overcomes the world. It's what the scripture says. The part of the world God has called you to overcome is what he's given you a burden for. God's called me to get the gospel out to as many people as possible, to overcome the unbelief and the lack of honor for God in this world. If I run from that, it doesn't happen. You say, well, Dave, if I go with this burden, it'll be difficult. Well, yeah, of course it will. People think that when you come to Christ, you follow God, things get better for you. Well, I got news for you. It doesn't happen. As a matter of fact, a lot of times when you follow God, it gets worse. It really does. And the Bible promises that. It says, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. It's going to be tough. Okay? Guys, there's no promise that things are going to get better. The only promise that God has given you in Scripture is that you will never be alone. You will never walk through this world alone. You will never carry this burden alone. You know why? Because he cares about your burden more than you do. Do you know that? That whatever he has given you a burden for, he cares more about it. I may want to plant churches. He wants it more. God may, you care about the poor. God cares about the poor more. You may care about raising Christian kids. Well, God cares about that even more than you do. And he's going to walk through that burden with you. And here's the good news. You guys ready for some good news? I love this. Number three, the assurance of eternal life gives us the confidence we need to fulfill the burden God has given us. The assurance of eternal life gives us the confidence we need to fulfill the burden that God has given us. Listen to what 1 John 5:1 says, or 5 right here. I will write these things to you. I write these things to you to believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. Why did he write this whole letter? So that you may know, not guess, not think, not maybe, but you may know that you have eternal life. No. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know if he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have what we asked of him. Guys, that is why this entire chapter, this entire book was written in the Bible, so that you may know you have eternal life. In other words, you have nothing to lose. You've already made the team. You've already made the team. So go play. All you got to do is go through practice and preseason. Guys, that's exactly what he's saying here. Guys, those who are born of God overcome the world. You know how appropriate this message is today on Mother's Day. Because, you know, guys, we're celebrating the goodness of mothers. They got a tough job. It's a tough job putting up with that. I know. My wife does an amazing job with our three children. I don't know how she does it. Working part-time, doing even more raising of kids than me. It's amazing. But listen to what a guy named Lord Shaftesbury said. He said, give me a generation of Christian mothers, and I will undertake to change the whole face of society in 12 months. Today, we need to be honoring our mothers. But the second thing that needs to happen is mothers and fathers. What is the purpose of parenting? What is it? Is it to teach people to be good American citizens and nice people, or is it something better? I believe the purpose of parenting, the purpose of mothering, the purpose of fathering, the purpose of everything that God has given us as parents is to teach our children to be people that are overcomers. That's exactly what parenting is about. That's what the Bible says parenting is about. is not to prepare our children to be possibly successful in this world. There's nothing wrong with that, but that's not the purpose. The purpose of parenting is to prepare our children to follow God and to do God's will and to be overcomers in this world. So that's a thought to think about on Mother's Day. This is our burden, parents. This is what we've been called to do. Because everyone who's born of God overcomes the world. Now, guys, I want to ask you, this is many of us in here. I don't know if you would say that you've been born again. You've ever surrendered. You've ever just basically said, you know what, God, take my life. Take my life. I want it gone. I don't want to do this anymore. I can't tweak a few things. I can't put makeup on a corpse, okay, which is what a lot of us are trying to do. I need new life. I need to be made new. Well, guys, if you've never done that, you need to do it this morning. Don't wait. Everyone who's born of God overcomes the world. You can't overcome the world without being born of God. So if you need to make that decision this morning, do it. And guys, many of us have been running from our burdens. You've been born of God, but there's a fire shut up in your bones. Stop running and go after it, because that's the only way. That's the only way to truly ever be happy in this world. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you for this section of your word. I thank you for the fact that you give us burdens. And Lord, this will sound...